It's the second podcast on syndicated lending, thinking about events of default. It is often the case in syndicated loans that we look to the syndicate agent, typically the lead bank, the lead investment bank that's putting this deal together. We look to that syndicate agent to activate events of default, to decide when they exist or don't exist. As I mentioned in the last podcast, it's perfectly possible to imagine, of course, situations in which one or other of the syndicate members wants to say there's been an event of default and terminate the transaction, and others may want the transaction to continue in existence because they think it's profitable, because they have closer ties in another context with this client, who knows. So, an interesting case, I think, on all of this is BNP Paribas and Yukos Oil. What's interesting to me is that we have an enormous loan of $470 million made to Yukos Oil, the massive Russian oil company. And one of the problems here is whether or not there's been a material adverse change in the condition of Yukos Oil. Now, there were loads of events of default drafted in the usual general language. No member of the Yukos group must be subject to proceedings leading to insolvency. Nothing must have had a material adverse effect on Yukos. There must be no change in the condition of its business. What we find is that the syndicate and syndicate agent have enormous power to identify when there has been a material adverse change here. This is very much a question of art, as opposed to being science. So there's got to be some material adverse effect on the business condition or production or export capacity of Yukos. And whether these things are materially adverse is left very much up to the parties to decide. Here, I mean, on these facts, there was in itself a great difficulty in deciding whether or not there had been material adverse change just between the members of the syndicate. Now, what had happened was the chief executive of Yukos Oil had been imprisoned by the Russian government in relation to an allegation that the company owed tremendous amounts of money in tax. And it was held that there would indeed be material adverse change to the company when its chief executive is imprisoned. And that sounds not unreasonable. I think the point for us to take is that these things are often terms of art, and there isn't necessarily a precise science in deciding when your agreement has come to an end. I must say my own personal preference would be to make these things very, very clear indeed. And then the events of default in syndicated loan covenants are discussed in paragraph 34.23 and onwards. Covenants usually to provide information to the lenders, any conditions precedent as to the validity of the loan, such as the condition, capacity, and authority of the entity and anyone signing on behalf of the entity. Common general events of default, the acceleration of obligations in identified circumstances whenever there's been a breach of the contract. Cross-default, very important. A cross-default provision in a loan agreement generally, or in a syndicated loan agreement like this, means that even if there isn't a breach under the loan agreement that you've entered into, if there has been a breach under some other loan agreement that the borrower has entered into with somebody else, then that will entitle you to terminate your own loan agreement. In effect, what you're doing is you are looking out across your borrower's business and saying, well, if they fail to make a repayment to another bank, we can be fairly sure they're going to fail to make a repayment to us. And then you'll identify all kinds of other types of default. Might not be limited to ordinary loans. It might include payments on derivatives, payments to bondholders, all kinds of things which you want to trigger a loan under your transaction. So that's very important. Material adverse change, we've already mentioned. Restructuring, we've mentioned in earlier podcasts, where your borrower restructures itself in some way. You would want that to be something which would entitle you to terminate your agreement as well. Important to look at the contracts in each individual circumstance to find out precisely what those covenants are and how they're supposed to function in that sense. Remember, this is all ultimately about contract law. And because it's all about contract law, we have to look at the terms of any individual contract. And so there we are. I think that will do for now. There are then some case studies, 34, 42 and onwards, discussing cases like Argo Fund and SR Steel, was Interimpex and Standard Bank PLC, IFE and Goldman Sachs, also discussed in detail, as well as JP Morgan and Springwell. Some hints we're getting from the cases about various aspects of what it means to participate in a syndicated loan, and what it's showing is that there is no single form of syndicated loan out there in the world. While the Loan Market Association, look them up on Google, does publish standard form language, clearly there is so much money involved in these transactions that everyone is looking at them case by case and trying to figure out what do we need, what are our concerns in this particular transaction, and what kind of covenants do we need as a result. So that will do for that. Lots and lots of detail to come in the lectures.